Very, very thankful to celebrate Jesus rising from the dead with you. And when we think of loved ones, you know, it's really important to think of them who knew Christ as not just being gone from us, not just going through death and having no life in their bodies and so on, but to know that their soul is with Christ. Okay, as surely as your soul is with you this morning, their soul is with Christ in heaven. So you'll see Jesus someday, face to face. You'll, for Christians who know the Lord and loved ones who know the Lord, you'll see those folks again someday, just like you're looking at each other and looking at people today. You'll see them and you'll say, oh, it's my loved one. How great to see the one who Jesus has saved. So anticipate that. That's real and that's true. And that's why the Lord rose from the dead. I like the old time song, Don Francisco. He was very good in ministry in the 80s, I think. He sang a song called He's Alive. The words were, he's alive and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. So that's the truth about the Lord toward us today. And I wanted to mention some things that Jesus makes true because of him rising from the dead. Remember, he said, because I live, you will live also. So our life is not just, you know, 70 years or so or less and then we're done. But the importance of this life, very, very great before God. But the importance of life forever, even more great that the Lord would give us. So to think of these truths. First of all, he's the real Lord and Savior, the only one. In fact, the only one who claimed to be the only one. In all the writings of Mohammed or Buddha or the Dalai Lama, he's that fellow who's around nowadays. I think Dalai Lama, by the way, means yellow hat, just in case you wanted to know. None of those religious leaders claimed to be the one and only way to heaven. They didn't. In fact, they didn't claim to be the Lord of life even. Only Jesus did. So he presents himself as above all the others in terms of what he said and what he did. So, you know, in today's pluralistic society, it's a good thing. I can learn a little bit about how other people believe, Muslims and so on, learn a little bit about Buddhists, what they believe, just to try to understand. But there's no sense in which those faiths would even say, oh, you know, Muhammad was the greatest or Buddha was the greatest. They didn't claim to be so. Okay, Jesus was the only one to claim to be God come as a man. So he was a real Savior of flesh and bones. Flesh and bone Savior. And when he died, he was flesh and bones going through the pain, taking our griefs and sorrows upon him. If you know sadness, Jesus has tasted the sadness you have tasted. He knows all about that. And like a loved one hurts for a loved one, he hurts for us. Okay, we should know that. And then when he rose from the dead, what was it like? Flesh and bones also. Okay, if you put your hands on your arms or however, poke the person next to you, well, that's a solid. You know, that's a solid, that's a real person. Real resurrection, real flesh and bones. That's what Jesus was when he came from the dead. Of course, he could do some other things too since he was risen. But he told his followers, hey, I'm not a ghost. Okay, touch my hands. He ate fish with his followers. He went to one and said, you know, put your hand where I was injured. So it was a real body. Really rose from the dead in a concrete manner. Nowhere in the gospel does Jesus say his resurrection was symbolic, or none of his followers did. They didn't say, oh, it's kind of like, you know, the grass was brown, now it's green. It's that must be like Jesus, you know. He just keeps on going with life. And it's, it used to be winter and nothing was around. Now it's spring and there's life. So see that Jesus rose. None of the Bible writers did that because they didn't want the resurrection to be associated with poetry only, okay, or your my imagination, but something concrete, okay, life, flesh and bones, bodily resurrection. That's a big deal to God. So we're glad about that. And so where is Jesus now? First of all, he's a brilliant teacher. He says he's the resurrection and the life. Conquers death. He's life itself to us. Is he ascended into heaven after rising? So he's in heaven. His body is. He's beside us because he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And he's inside us because he said, I give you my spirit when I go. Okay, so the Lord is near to us today. And if we were going to look at the resurrection just based on facts, I think it's important to ground our faith in what really happened. Go back a little bit, date myself with the remembrance of an old TV show, Dragnet. Anybody familiar with Dragnet? Okay, Dragnet was Sergeant Friday checking out the crime scene. And he would always say the same thing when he got to a certain area. He would say, just the facts. Okay, if you remember that. Just the facts, please. Just the facts, ma'am. And if we were to go with just the facts, okay, in the Bible, we would know this. First of all, Jesus' friends and Jesus' enemies agreed. They said, we know this. The tomb is empty. Now, that's something. All the people who were against Jesus and all the people who were for Jesus, they all said the same thing. We're not sure what happened, but we know this. The tomb is empty. Okay, so that's a fact. And we're glad it's a evidence of Jesus rising from the dead. Then we have eyewitnesses coming forward, some of which Joe read here. We had Peter, John getting to the tomb. We have Mary Magdalene meeting Jesus in the garden. Jesus appears to the 11 disciples, later on to the Apostle Paul, later on to 500 people at the same time. Okay, I don't know if you've ever had 500 witnesses come and give testimony. That would be pretty convincing evidence. If you have one of your loved ones, you know, to get a speeding ticket, you have 500 people say, you might thought it was speeding. I saw him not speeding. 500 witnesses, you say, hey, that must be the truth there. So 500 witnesses at the same time, Sergeant Friday would be convinced, right? With just the facts, just the facts. And so the evidence is there to change our lives. Real Jesus, real resurrection. And it's important to think of the changed lives that the Lord has brought about. I mentioned three at the first service. I'm going to mention six here, but a little more details on some of them. Thomas was a changed life from Jesus rising from the dead. When people told him Jesus is risen, he said, yeah, right. Okay, Thomas was a doubter. He was a down-to-earth guy. He'd have fit in really well in today's world. I don't believe it till I see it. Okay? I'm not going to believe it because you tell me so. I'm going to believe in Jesus when I meet him. Okay, if you have friends like that, or if you're like that, that's not a totally bad place to be. Because it tells us you're not going to be fooled. And you're not going to be anybody's fool. Okay, you're going to want to know, is Jesus real? And that's what Thomas was. He was a skeptic. He had his doubts. And Jesus eventually comes and shows himself to Thomas. And then Thomas goes from doubter, skeptic, person with real questions. First thing he says is, my Lord and my God. Isn't that something? You can go from a deep doubt about Jesus and like, oh, who cares about that, to saying, my Lord and my God from your heart. And you'll know salvation. What a change happened to Thomas. So if you have doubts, that says you're looking for the truth. If you have people who have doubts, they're looking for the truth. Unless they're just trying to sidestep God, which is possible. Okay? But if you're a skeptic, and if you have friends and family who are skeptics, Jesus is for them. Because Jesus was for Thomas. Okay? He could change the skeptic's life. And it teaches us something about the Lord, too. Very important. God doesn't always ask us to understand him. In fact, hardly ever does he say, understand me totally here. God doesn't ask us to understand him. He asks us to trust him. To trust him and know him. Know him doesn't mean no facts. Know him means know like you know a really close friend, like a husband knows a wife. No. A lot of spouses know their spouse, but they don't say, I understand my spouse. I don't understand my spouse. But we still know each other. Okay? We don't understand everything about Jesus, nor can we. But we can still know Him really closely and still trust Him, which He invites us to do. So, Jesus can change a skeptic's heart. Who else did Jesus change? He changed the apostle Peter. Okay, from an out-of-control alpha dog, apostle Peter. First one to say Jesus is the Messiah. First one to say, I don't know Him. Peter liked to be first. Watch out, if you like to be first, you're going to be first in doing good things. You're also going to be first in doing bad things. You're going to be first leading people the wrong way. Okay, that's Peter. The Lord changed Peter from a man who was just very assertive and aggressive to a man who was focused and purposeful and very yielded to Christ. He took all that stubbornness and he yielded to the Lord. So, if you're a stubborn person, if you're a hard head, like Peter, Jesus is for you. Okay? He can change your life. If you're determined, you know, and you're going to get it done, Jesus is for you. He could take all that energy and use that to honor Him, not just use it to live for yourself. And so, what a blessing. And if you're like Peter, remember in your bad moments, even if, and you and I do this, if we disown Jesus, Jesus never disowned Peter. Okay? He said, I'm sticking with you. God will remain faithful for us. So He changed Thomas. He changed Peter. How about Mary Magdalene? She was out there, okay, in her life. She had seven demons that she dealt with, seven great areas of sin which she had no control of. And we can't control our own sin and our own evil, by the way. That's one basic lesson of life. Stop sinning and do good. That's not a message that Jesus gave. He says, I'll change your life. I'll give you a new heart so you want to do good. But Mary Magdalene, she was full of problems, and yet she became a faithful follower of Jesus. So if you're a person who has seen much evil or done much evil or is doing much evil, Jesus is for you. Okay, He can do that for your friends of yours who think that person will never be a Christian. They're gothic, or they're I don't know what's considered really out there nowadays. Probably nothing. Everything is looked at as okay, but they are hooked on terrible things. They're just worst thing, I guess. They're stuck on themselves. You know, I don't know which is worse, a heroin addict or a person addicted to themselves. I would think the guy addicted to himself, he can't get away from that. The heroin guy has to go out and seek it out. The guy stuck on himself, he can't breathe without going in the wrong direction. But Mary Magdalene has her life changed by the Lord. She's the first one to see Jesus. He greets her. You know, He calls her by name, Mary. As soon as Mary hears Jesus call her voice, her name rather, she knows it's Him. And to have Jesus know He calls your voice this morning, you know, whether you're like Mary or Peter or Thomas, He says your name. There you are. You know. Come to Him. Other people that Jesus changed, Mark the Gospel writer. Talked about him a number of months ago. But Mark the Gospel writer was a coward for the most part. If you have a lot of fears in your life, Jesus is for you. Mark ran away naked from the arrest of Jesus. I don't know if you ever probably never ran away naked from anything. But Mark did. He said, that's it. I got to go. He drops out of his first missionary trip. I don't want to do this. I can't do this. The Apostle Paul looked at Mark as a Christian brother and said, get him out of here. He can't help us. Don't want him serving. Mark wants to help with Vacation Bible School. No. Vote him down. Okay. That's the Apostle Paul. God doesn't give up on, that's Mark. God doesn't give up on the Lord, or Mark. He uses Mark. He helps him be the first gospel writer. So in your life, if you know people who have dropped out, who aren't amounting to much, who appear to be going in the wrong direction, Jesus is for them. If you're a Christian brother or sister who other Christian brothers and sisters have written off, this happens, sadly. It happened with Paul and Mark. If other Christian brothers and sisters have written you off and said, they're not, they don't make any difference to the body of Christ, no, Jesus would say different. He's for you. And he'll take good news through you. And he changed the life of Mark, the gospel writer. Two more people. Salome. Okay, one of the gals who went to the tomb. Now, there's two Salomes in the New Testament. I think one is the parent of the Zebedee boys, James and John. And the other one was the one who did Dancing with the Stars before King Herod, okay? And she won, and John the Baptist had to lose his head because of that. That wasn't a good thing. But we'll say this Salome is a parent of the disciples, and she was a helicopter mom. You know what a helicopter mom is? They hover around the children, make sure that everything's okay. You know. And they say, my boys are the best. My children are the best. I guess all parents are going to think that way one time or another. But she raises loud and overconfident boys, James and John. And instead of having her life center around something good like her family, guess what? Salome has her life centered around the risen Christ instead. She says, I'll put Jesus first. And then Jesus will take care of my boys. Okay. So the things in our life, which are blessings, we know from Salome's life, God can change us. Help us put the Lord first. These dear blessings of loved ones and family can be put under the Lord like she did because Jesus rose. And then the last example of a changed life before you and I, Lord willing, is the Apostle Paul. One of the most hard-headed Bible guys you know. Paul would have been the best teacher at Norwin Alliance Church. Okay, he knew the Bible very, very much. But Paul was also full of himself, which was rough. How that went along with knowing the Bible, we don't know. But it tells us it's possible. So watch out for that in your life. It's possible to be full of the Bible and full of yourself. But anyway, Paul said in terms of walking the straight and narrow, he was faultless when it came to doing the right thing. He said, I always do the right thing. I'm faultless in terms of legalistic righteousness. Okay? And but he had to be changed. He was changed by Jesus from that life to a life which says, you know what, I'm the worst sinner I know. I'm the chief of sinners. Did you know the worst sinner in Westmoreland County? And God says, that would be you. That each one of us feel that way about ourselves. Because we know our sin the most. I know my sin much more than I know Joe's or anybody else's. Right? So I have to let Christ come and make me new, bring me the forgiveness that he would give. Paul will change from being about himself to saying, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And Paul was a no-compromise guy, which is good, because he said, okay, only Christ is important to me now. So if you're a no-compromised person, if you always do what's right, if you're very high on morality, and you know sin and you know right, and you always do right, and you really look down on the ones who do outward sin, you should know this. Jesus is for you. And Jesus would change your life to be be a follower of His. And he's great at doing that. So all the disciples, the six mentioned there, and of course many, many more, when Jesus rose, they were in process. They stumbled around to believe. They had doubts. They had difficulties. They met Jesus as not only the Lord of second chances, but the Lord of 70 times 7 chances. Okay, that's for us. We need 70 times 7 chances. Unlimited. By the grace of God. And we have a long way to go. We're not the disciples that we'll be at the end of our walk. God is working on us. And we could be like those dear people, Thomas and Paul and Peter. Before they were killed, you know, they followed Jesus every day. Even the Apostle Paul, relative midstream convert, he followed the Lord for about 30 years every day. Would you like to be a Christian? Would you like to follow the Lord every day for 30 years? He supplies that for us. Are you up for that? Jesus is up for that. He can change us from selfish to loving, from self-centered to selfless. And I think of, what's a human heart without the Lord? Just my own perspective. Without Christ, this is the way I see life. I'm lifeless, I'm lonely, and I'm lost for eternity without Christ. Lifeless, lonely, and lost for eternity. And maybe that's our soul without God for sure. Some of our friends and loved ones. But with Christ, we're risen with Him. We're alive with Him. We have life forever in heaven with Jesus. And that's what He gives us. And in closing, just a favorite illustration that I think helps us know the gift of God that He'd give us. A little boy standing before the Washington Monument. It is so big and majestic and wonderful. And he, think, this is the biggest monument down here in Washington, D.C. He said, I would like to buy this. The boy's 10 years old. He tells the policeman, how much is this? I'd like to buy this wonderful experience. And the policeman said, how much do you have? He looks in, he said, $1.25. That's what I got. And the policeman said, let me tell you, three things very important. Number one, you can't afford it. You can't afford it. You don't have what it takes. You don't have what it takes to buy this. Number two, it's not for sale. You can't try to earn this Washington Monument. And number three, it's yours to enjoy as a gift. Somebody paid for it already for you. Okay, and that's the resurrection of Jesus, life forever with Him. We can't afford it. Okay, it's not for sale. And He purchased it for us that we might receive and follow and rejoice. So rejoice forevermore. The Lord is risen. He's a person, He makes you love much because you're forgiven much. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You. You've risen from the dead. Thank You for these dear people here who worship You on the memory day of Your resurrection. And I ask that, Jesus, You'd be fully alive in each one of us. That as You rose from the dead, You'd bring life to any dead spots in our soul, be it guilt or sin or alienation from others, or wherever there's not the light of Christ, that You just come and scatter the darkness in there because of how great You are. Thank You for the gift of heaven. You give us the gift of friendship with Yourself. And Lord, we pray for our salvation, that we would rest in Christ and say, Jesus is my Lord. Give us that joy to follow Him every day all the way to heaven. We pray this in Your name. Amen.